Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
So I really do appreciate you taking the time just to join me and to hopefully share your stories for people to connect with.
Absolutely. I'm super excited.
Yeah, I'm excited for you too. So like I mentioned, I think something that's really cool to me is always to humanize people in their stories and to pretty much give people a chance to understand who they are, their journey. I think a lot of the times we see the final product of who people are without understanding the backstory. So for people
who don't know who you
are, yeah, the battle, the ins and outs. So for people who don't know who you are to the world, who are you?
Who am I? I feel like that's a super loaded question. It's a loaded question because there's so many ways that we can identify. I'm a part-time philosopher, just so you know. So I think like there's a version of me that is the person that grew up in Northeast Indiana with a father who's a farmer and a mom who never graduated from college. And then there's a version of me that like worked my ass off to get to where I am and like internalized the family struggle, right? And then there's the version of me who became this incredibly spiritual person and like diving into spiritual development and self-development. And so there's just so many different ways to define how one is or who one is. So I would say that I am someone who is on an ever evolving journey to self and to understanding the self and to really enjoying this human experience that we get to have and all of the ins and outs that come with that while also not identifying to it and attaching to it as much as is possible. And helping people to do the same, because I think for so many people, like as a country right now, like as a world right now, we are, and I swear like a sailor, so I hope that's not offensive to you. but we are, we're struggling, right? Like we are hardcore struggling as a world right now. And I think that there's a huge cry and a huge call to people to come back to authenticity and to come back to who they really are, because we get to see all of these fun, polished sides of people, right? Like I put some makeup on before coming on this call and I you know, did my hair halfway, right? And I think that there's this internal struggle that we also get to have of like, who really am I? And how do I identify and what's the identification of self? And we'll start with that.
I definitely hear the part-time philosopher in your spiel. So I always think it's really interesting when people mention just like the journey of growth, the kind of like the duality from where you started to where you are now. When do you think you kind of hit that intersection to making that shift? Because I do think environment is a big part of who we are and influences who we are. But when do you think in your life it's like, there's more to me, there's more I want to do, there's more I want to grow into? Like, when do you think that point hit into your life?
I think there have been several points of that throughout my life. But we'll go with probably the most prominent, which started back in, I want to say like 2016, 2017, of this kind of like, what else is out there? Like, what's, kind of going on? And it was kind of like taking these baby steps into discovery. And then I had a huge breakup in 2018, I think it was. Like 3 year relationship, thought we were going to get married, thought we were going to, build a family together. And all of a sudden it was, hey, babe, I think that you should think about us taking a break. And I'm like, the fuck does that mean? Like, you think that I should think, like, what? I don't, that's not, no, I'm good. And like being told that I should do some soul searching. So that was a huge, like, pivotal moment. And then roughly like a year, I guess that was in 2017. And then I purchased my own home in 2018. And then in 2019, went on my first spiritual retreat, like self-development. I didn't even know what the fuck to call it or what to say. People are like, what are you doing? What are you going to California for? And I'm like,
Just
I'm just
there.
on vacation. Like, I don't know, just to go. Because I didn't know what to tell people that it was. I'm like, yeah, it's a retreat, but it's not, I don't know. And then I came back from that and I was like, okay, I'm going to quit my job and sell my house and move down to the South to be with family. And like, I had this like, we'll call it a cry for help from my body right before that, of where I was like, I was sick for 6 weeks and my doctor couldn't figure out what was wrong. She'd ran all the tests she could think of. She was like, we're going to send you back to a gastroenterologist to see what's going on. I like couldn't eat, could barely drink anything. Water would make me nauseous most of the time. Lost a bunch of weight in like 15, 20 pounds in a matter of just a couple of weeks. And I was like, okay, I don't know what this is. Then I go on this retreat in California, and I just remember because I was doing basically a forced version of Whole30, if you know what Whole30 is.
I
And
don't, so I'm curious to know what that is.
okay, so
Great.
Whole30 is like you can have like five categories of things basically, and I always forget one of them, or like the things that you can't have. So no alcohol, no processed foods, no dairy, no gluten. And I always forget the fifth one, but basically it's just like you can eat all whole foods, right? And then my doctor was like, also no coffee. And I'm like, excuse me, what? I'm not sure how to survive without coffee, like, because I was working in the automotive manufacturing industry, and it's crazy. It's crazy. And so I'm like, oh, coffee is like my entire, from the time I wake up until like noon, and then sometimes again at like 3 or 4 o'clock, right? Those afternoon meetings. I'm like, how do I survive without coffee? So removing all of these things from my diet. So I'm basically like eating vegetables like lettuce and eating some meat for protein, constantly feeling hungry, but not able to be not, I'm not like physically able to intake enough food to where I wasn't hungry because I was just sick. So I'm like, I don't know what this is. People are like, oh, you're having a salad for lunch? And I'm like, yep. Not because I want to, but like I don't really have another choice right now.
Sure.
And then I go on this retreat. I pause like right before that, I believe. So I had a colleague that I used to work with came into my office one morning and he's like, Jules, what's up? And I'm like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing here, Richard. And he is like, what do you mean? I'm like, what am I doing here? Like, what? Like, the shop floor is behind me in my office. Like, there's a big window. And I look out and I'm like, what am I doing here? Like, I'm not helping anyone. I'm not like, my life has to have a bigger like purpose and meaning to it
Purpose.
than just like, because at that time my role was the site's training manager. And I'm like, but there's got to be something more than this. He's like, what do you mean? He's like, you have a great job. Like, you make really good money. You help people every day. I'm like, I help people learn about radiators, condensers, and charge air coolers and how to survive in these four walls. Like, that's what I do. I'm like, I don't, that's not. That's not it. That can't be it. Like this can't be the summation of my life. Like it just can't. And I'm like crying, right? Like this is not a fun, like
Conversation.
bantering conversation. I'm like crying my eyes out. And he's like, you could see the look on his face. He's like, shit, like, what do I do with this? Like, and he's like, Jules, I think you're depressed. I'm like, I'm not depressed. I'm like, but this can't be it. So it's like the springboard into like, what the hell is my purpose in life? What am I meant to be doing? And I think a lot of people get that opportunity and that glimpse of like that window into like, really, why am I here? But not everyone takes the leap because it's scary. It's super scary.
No, I think everybody has that thought. I was just talking to somebody about that, and I was like, most people have these weird, intense feelings of what they're doing, and ask themselves, "Should I be doing this? Is there more?" And I always am a firm believer that there's more. So I'm always glad to hear stories of that leap of faith. Also, by the way, that 30-day thing sounds absolutely treacherous. I'm sure it was probably a great experience to go know anything dairy, coffee, all that stuff, especially dairy. I think that would have been hard for me. So from a spiritual route for you, is there like books that kind of got you into opening up to this space of understanding? Like, do you have some of your favorite books? Like, well, you know, let's like, how do we get into this spiritual dive within self?
Gosh, there's so many. Right. Like, a lot of people talk about Dr. Joe Dispenza. Like, he's a really great one. I've only read part of one of his books. And there's a lot of really great stuff in there because he gives you mind food too, right? Like, he gives you this breakdown of how the mind really works. Because people always, they're like, well, if you don't have faith, what do you have? You have science, right? And so if you're not into that point of believing, you want both. Or you at least want the science behind it. So anything by Joe Dispenza, a lot of people really love him. For me personally, David Wilcock, his books, have you ever read his stuff?
Yeah, I've read a few, or I've heard of a few.
And
Joe
like,
Dispenza definitely too as well.
Yeah, and David Wilcock books are like, not to turn anyone off, but also a lot of science, a lot of research goes into it, which I personally love. But they're really thick books, like
they are
like 900 pages kind of thing. So for me, it was like a small chunks. And I also really love books that are like, right now I'm listening to The Greatest Secret. So if anyone's ever heard of the book, The Secret, by Rhonda. So she just came out recently with The Greatest Secret. Cause I'm like, okay, like the 2015, 2016 era is when I like read The Secret, and then I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then I read like The Power and The Hero and The Magic. And I was like, wow, okay, this is great. But like, it didn't do it for me. Like I either wasn't there yet, but this whole like, visualize the life that you want and feel it. And I was not in a place where that was really the thing. Like, I'm just now starting to get to that place where, cause I've never really been a huge like visualizer. But then you gotta feel it, and da da da, and I'm just like,
I think you said The Magic. What was that? I think it was like, was it The Magic, like a 30-day
the gratitude practice?
Yeah, the gratitude practice. Remember, one of them, you had to grab some rocks. You had to grab some rocks.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, I forgot you had to talk to them, but no, I definitely understand that.
No, the rock is you put it by your bed, right?
By your bed. Night. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. And then you review like the best part of your day. I actually had a Facebook group not too long ago, like going through day by day what the practice was. And because I'm also a firm believer in like, no one person and has the right way to do something, and there's no like set way to do it. So like when people talk about meditation and things, they're like, oh, you have to like get rid of thoughts. I'm like, the fuck if you do, like, that's not how that works. Like, unless you're trying to be a monk, that's not how that works. Right.
Right.
And so I think a lot of times, like, there's so much great information, but it's also like, listen to your intuition and listen to like what works for you. Because in this season right now, the no thought meditation might not be your thing, right?
No.
It may be going to the gym and getting in that trance and in that zone where you're like hitting it and you're like, I don't know what just happened, but I feel amazing, right? Or going for a run or going for a walk, like those are meditative states as well. It could be cleaning, right? Like for the people listening who get pissed off and clean and they just like go to town. I used to be one of those people. Like it's cathartic, right?
Right.
So back to the books. There's so many great books that I think are really, really helpful. There's another one. I think the guy's name is Bob Selig. It's called I Am the Word, I think is what it's called. And that's a little bit trippy. So I was reading like his first book plus David Wilcock at the same time. And I'm like, my world was just like, what just happened? Like, what just happened?
Yeah, no, like with books and all those information, it's almost like you're trying to grab all the best practices all into one, and it is kind of like an information overload. So it's kind of really interesting hearing like your timeline. I think for me, my timeline in that space was like 2017, 18. I was fresh out of college. I didn't know what to do with my life as I thought I did. And I just started reading books. So yeah, like it was like The Secret and The Alchemist and
Oh, such a good book.
Such a great book. The Four Agreements and The Fifth Agreement.
Also good.
And you know, the Seven Spiritual Laws of Success. So you do learn that everything as far as with self is like this long lasting journey that you continue to just look after and look towards. And after a while, there is so much information, you don't know what to believe anymore. Like you mentioned, the meditation, like they tell you to sit in silence for 30 minutes, and it's like, I can't do that now. I don't even have the time to even try to. I mean, I guess I can do it, but I've learned, because it has been so far removed from my daily practice, it's very hard to just stop and like not think. I feel like I'll fall asleep now trying to meditate at this point. So
so I've learned transcendental meditation within the last couple of years. And so that's, you have a mantra word. The words that I was given to go with are three Sanskrit words. One of them I forget because I've never used it. Satya means truth in Sanskrit. Swaha means surrender. And the third word, it means I am. And I'm like, I don't know that I'm ready to I am meditate. Like it's kind of like ahem, something like that. I don't know. But like you just focus on, you just keep, because I know some people have internal dialogues and some don't. I do. So I just keep like repeating it in my head. And then when you have a thought, when the thought like flutters in, you don't try to beat it to death with the mantra. You just like let the thought play out, but then you just guide yourself back to using the mantra. And that's the same thing, I think, is what people teach, like to use your anchor point as the breath, but you can use really anything you want. A really cool practice I learned early on was when the thought comes in, you say, welcome to the party. And I'm like, well, that's fun, right? Like that makes meditation fun. Like, oh, welcome to the party, my friend. Now I'm going to get back to my breath, right? So it's just really playing around with like what works for you. Cause what works for me might not work for you.
Right.
And for someone else. Yeah. And every season is different.
So when working with people now, what do you think is kind of like the common themes that people may have brought up to you that maybe they need to work on, or what do you help work on them with if you do have those conversations with them?
I think one of the most common things for people is self-confidence and imposter syndrome. But often people don't realize that that's what it is. So if I came up to you and I was like, you have a self-confidence problem or you have a confidence issue, what would you say to that?
You'll probably be offended at first. It depends.
Exactly.
I think most people will be offended at
first. Yeah. Yeah. So it's not really how you lead, right? It's not really how you lead with things, but it's oftentimes just taking them through different practices to look at like the wholeness of who they are, especially in the entrepreneur space. But this works anywhere, right? Because I remember Julie in the boardroom was very different than Julie at bar or Julie out with friends. Like we were two completely different people. And now that's not the case. Like the me that you get right now is the me that you get, whether we're on a coaching call or I'm again back in the boardroom coaching CEOs and different things like that. Because at the end of the day, we're all people, we all have shit that we need to get through. So it's really like we meet people where they're at. I say we because I have a business partner, but we meet people like where they're at and help them discern where they want to get to. Because one of my favorite things to talk about in this day and age is the whole like, I want to make 10K a month or six figures a year. Like, who told you that? Is that actually what you want to make? Or does it just sound good to you, right? So there's also a huge thing of like discernment and like who, what's your actual belief? What do you actually want to do and want to make, right? And then it's building that bridge to get there. So the cool thing about what I do is I get to take all of those amazing tools from working in the automotive industry and problem solving and processes and all that stuff. And I can give you super tangible things to do and teach you just like I used to teach my engineers or just like I used to teach my supervisors. And then we can get a little, you know, spiritual with it. We can get a little self-development with it. It's just kind of like whatever, wherever people are at. But the biggest thing really that I see is like, I think a lot of things boil down to self-confidence, like the fear of being seen or heard, not being able to speak up and use our voice. These are huge things. But again, I think these all come back to self-confidence.
No, I think self-confidence is the biggest thing. I think even the average person, as I've been telling friends, like, yeah, I'm interviewing people from all over and I have no idea how the conversations are going to go, but I always just have a confidence in myself that it's always going to go the right way because I remove myself from it. It's, you talk to random people all the time, and it's no different. And so I think a lot of it is ego when it comes to imposter syndrome. It is, I think, a step further if you think you're so important. I think we all have like a main character syndrome. I do. Like, I think social media has made it worse where we can go out in places and people feel like that their presence is more important than what it actually is. So somebody looking at you across the street, you're thinking, oh, they're looking at me and they have all these thoughts. They're probably not giving you any mind of the day. If you public speak and you think that you're going to bomb this, half the crowd probably isn't listening. Not because you're not captivating, but it could just be because of just the attention span of today's time. And so once I've learned that early, it's like if I remove myself from these things, it just, you try your best and you just kind of go from there. So it definitely is really interesting hearing people have their own intersectionality with these experiences. And as you mentioned, self-confidence, I think, is everything. So when it comes to adversity, I know as you people may hear this and they're like, well, it just sounds like she got from point A to point B so quick. How did you, what was probably the most, I would say, life-defining moment in this transition from growing up to now, to working with CEOs, et cetera?
The most life-defining moment?
Or moments?
Like, I don't even know how to, I think like for me, oh shit, there's just so much. Like if people, okay, we'll back up to just earlier this year. I just had my 37th birthday this year and I wasn't in the place that I thought that I wanted to be, right? Let me rephrase that. I wasn't in the place that society has told me that I should be by the age that I am. So it's like, you should be married. You should have X number of children. You should be financially successful, whatever the fuck that means, right? And it's like, I had like the part of my birthday was fucking fabulous and it was amazing. And then there was this crash that happened. And I was in this space for about a week, maybe. I remember getting on a call with my business partner. And she likes to set intentions before, you know, we have whatever the meeting is and whatever the call is about. And she was like, this is my intention. What intention do you have? And I like straight up, I was in like 14-year-old version Julie, who was pissed off and didn't give a fuck about anything. I was like, you know what? And this is literally what I did. I like leaned in like this. I'm like, you know what? I'm fucking here. Like, I'm here. That's what you get right now. Like, you, I'm here. I showed up to the meeting. So we're going to talk about whatever we need to talk about. And that's that. I don't have an intention for the meeting. And she was like, okay, do we need to like postpone and come back later? I'm like, nope, because I don't know how long this is going to last. I don't know how long I'm going to be in this space. I'm like, I could be out of it tomorrow. It could be 2 months from now. I was like, I don't know what that's going to be and what that's going to look like. And I remember at least twice, I think, during this span of roughly a week, going and there's this picture of my grandparents. And I believe in that we have multiple lifetimes and that we're a soul inhabiting a body, having an experience, and that we come back, right? And so I went out and I'm like hot lapping in the kitchen in the living room, like crying, talking to God, and I are having a come to Jesus moment. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing to me right now? And I just remember sitting down on a meditation chair. I'm crying. I pick up the picture of my grandparents and I'm like, what? I'm like, thank you for all the beautiful things that you gave me. I'm like, I am an incredibly strong woman because of you, Grandma, because you were an incredibly strong woman and you showed me what that was like. And Grandpa, I'm like, I am funny as hell. Like, you were a funny fucker, sir. And I appreciate that. And like, you know, just giving them like this love before I ripped them a new one. Just like, you gave me all these beautiful things, but you gave me a whole heap of shit to work through, people. I'm like, I'm gonna need some fucking help. I'm gonna need some help because I can't do this right now. I can't do this. I can't.
Yeah.
And so for me, and I know like most people don't get to see that side of things. Like,
right. Like
just like you said, like the struggle can be super real and super visceral. And like you don't see how you're gonna come out of it on the other side. And that was one of those moments for me. Like I said, there were a couple. And I heard some random song on YouTube within that 3 days. Like, I think I was listening to some reggae and then a random song pops in next and I just lost it. Like, I just lost it. I don't even know what the song was. I couldn't tell you to this day what it was. I have no idea. Never heard it before. Couldn't find it again. But that's what I needed in that moment, because I think what people don't understand about like the self-development path or the spiritual journey is sometimes you get to go to the depths of hell so you understand what heaven looks like. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe in hell as a physical place. Like, I believe that this physical plane is what we make it. It can be heaven, it can be hell. But sometimes you get to go through the depths of it to strip away the layers of yourself that aren't you. Like, that gotta be married, should have had 3 kids by now. Like, do I want 3 kids? I don't even know, right? Like, right?
I had a conversation about that with somebody. I wish people were more honest with themselves about society norms. I think we have a responsibility as people, if we can, to potentially procreate, if it makes sense. I also think that people who have several kids will tell you that they, if they can go back in time, they may have not had them, because your life looks completely different. And I don't think it's a bad or a good or a bad thing. I just think that we aren't honest with ourselves as people. I don't think being married makes you more happy. I think, like for context, me, I'm a counselor, so I'm about to be a therapist. So I've talked to couples already. You see the conversation sometimes, and I'm like, when did you guys think this made sense in the beginning? You know, it never made sense in the first place. It just sounded good because it's an idea and age and time, but you both ideologically just did not, yeah, didn't want this, or it just went left as time went on. So I think that's really important to have like those moments of transparency with self, because I think that's when you find yourself the most fulfilled, when you are honest with yourself. So I think that's great. When it comes to like your overall goal in life, what would you say is your goal now? Like, when you see an ideal picture, perfect life, you know, with using visualization, what does that look like? What does that look like for you?
So the first intuitive answer that came to me was happiness. Like, the goal of life is just to be happy, right? Whatever that looks like for you. And I also believe happiness is an inside job, because like you said, like being married or being in relationship, having a partner, that's not going to make you happy. That's going to shine a light on all your shit. And then you either get to do one of two things. You get to step up to the plate. You get to look at some stuff very seriously and do it in partnership, or you get to be like, I'm out. This doesn't work for me. I'm good. Like, and I've been on both sides of that, right? I've been on both sides of that. We used to joke growing up that I had a 2-month rule. Like, if your ass made it to 2 months with me, you were solid. Like, you were good. But if you did it, like, that's par for the course. But when I do the visualization, it's really me being in a home, a beautiful home. What's beautiful to me, right? And I don't want to speak into that because someone else might be like, oh my gosh, oh, maybe that is what beauty is. No, yo, I'm a Taurus. Like, I like comfort and I like I like specific things that are, you know, because of that. But other people don't have that, right? So for me, it's like, it's being in Florida and it's having my home and it's being with a partner, because that is really truly something that my soul desires to experience in this life.
Yeah.
And it's being in partnership and it's just being happy, whether we're, you know, having friends there or it's just the two of us, but it's learning to grow and develop and to just experience life through the lens of someone else.
No, I love that. I think that's perfect. And it also set up my final question. Like, I like to ask all of my guests, what does it mean to be human to you?
To be human to me. Ooh, this is a good question. I love this. So to be human, it's to have the full embodiment of the experience. And some people are probably like, what the fuck does she mean by that? Like, I spent a long time. I spent decades outside of my body. I spent decades not fully feeling and fully being in my body. From dysregulation of the nervous system, from trauma, from different things, right? So like when I went and did my so far one and only plant medicine retreat, that was my only intention for the thing. It's like, Grandmother Aya, I want to feel embodied. I want to know what it's like to be embodied. And that's what I got. And that's what I got. And now I'm grateful, because like, how many times do people go through life where they're like, I just want to be on to the next thing, or I don't want to be here anymore. And I would say that not in the sense of like, I'm going to go in and commit suicide, but just like, I don't feel like I belong here. So I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, ooh, it's a juicy gift to be a human. And it's a juicy gift to get to experience these things. Like, because without this body, without this human body, I don't get to experience the taste of food. Back to being a Taurus, right? Like, food is a big deal. Like, I don't get to experience being in a warm, comfy blanket and just being super cozy, right? Like, without being human, you don't get those things. So I think to me, it's the greatest part about this experience is the experience. And it's like, it's feeling things fully, as glorious and as difficult as that can be.
Yeah, no, that's perfectly said. As you were talking, I'm like, she definitely is a Taurus. I'm a Pisces, so I definitely, I'm like, I hear it. It makes sense. A lot of my friends are, so I understand it. And always, I really do appreciate you taking the time. Where can people find you on social media? I know there's so many platforms, but where can people find you the
there
most?
Are Instagram and Threads are my favorite. I think we connected on Threads.
We did connect on Threads.
Yes, Threads is fun. It's fun. So my handle is just julie.tritch33. So that's how you can find me on either one. Like, I'm on Facebook too, but it's this.
Facebook is one of those family. Yeah,
it's a different animal. It's a different animal.
I get that. No, Threads is so interesting. I still can't explain what's going on. There's been so
it's
many.
It's like the Wild West.
I can't explain it because like I've told most of the guests, like, I've been doing this for a couple years now. I haven't interviewed in about 2 years, but I've done over, I would say, 100 now. Just talking to different people, getting the conversations. I kind of got to a point where I'm like, I'm just tired of this, you know? Like, I'm just tired of because it's an unknown. When you don't see certain traction, and unfortunately you can compare yourself to things and other people, you're just like, man, whatever. Like, all right, maybe I gotta just try something else. And I think I heard God's voice, give it a try again. And you know, Threads, I don't know why he led me to Threads at all places, but Threads, he led me to Threads, and everybody started reaching out, and I'm like, okay, maybe people won't respond back and like accept it. And I was like, oh God, everybody's doing it. But I also think it's been great because it's definitely given me a newfound appreciation just for conversation, and also to give people a platform to just share their stories, which I think is always great. So I genuinely do appreciate you, and everybody who is listening, who will be listening, just to check out our stuff. I always think it's great to have people who are really reflective on their journey and honest, and I think people need to be doing the same thing on theirs as well. So if you're listening, make sure to subscribe to it on your favorite audio platform. Check me out on YouTube and all that good stuff. And until next time, peace.